I want you all to pray for me this morning. I have a lot I want to cover. I know I can't do it in this very short amount of time. I have two foundation scripture that I want to read. One is found in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. The other one is found in Exodus chapter 32, verses 24 through 26. Now, what I want to deal with this morning are choices. We as people, and I'm talking about as human beings, I'm talking about culture, I'm talking about race, and I'm talking about, your economic status, standards or statuses, anything like that, fame, fortune, whatever. I'm talking about as human beings, life comes down to choices that we make. And if you see throughout the entire scripture that, we have to make a choice to follow God. God draws us. Make no mistake about it. Salvation begins with God. He draws us to him. But we also have to make a decision to accept and to walk with him. And I heard a person say this over the Christian television. He said they were asking this question, or they were actually making a statement. They were saying, well, I just don't understand God. And they're looking at the pandemic and the riots and everything that's going on. And, I was just sitting there thinking, I felt like the Lord just dropped in my heart. It's not, the issue is not what you understand or what you don't understand. The issue is what you reject and what you don't accept. And because that's what condemns a person. It's not a lack of understanding. We understand pretty much anything we put our focus to. But when people make a decision, they don't want to walk with God. That's a choice that they make. So I want to read, because I want as a foundation to be the scripture, not my opinion, not what I think. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, this is what I would say to this world, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, you're going to serve something, or you're going to serve somebody. Your choice, not your understanding, but your choice is you need to choose. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about this world. This world, this United States, this world, regardless of what country that you're in, what culture that you're in. The reality is you choose this day whom you are going to serve, because you're going to serve the God of self. You can choose to serve the God of me, myself, and I. You can choose the gods of this world, the God of money, the God of fame, the God of popularity, the God of this, the God of that. That, because the world throughout human history has made up many gods. The pharaohs had, I mean, they had statues and just made the Roman emperors, they would just have busts and statues just made of them. So they thought that meant they would live forever, even though they would physically grow old and die. But because there was some statue of them somewhere, that they were living forever, they called themselves the masters of the universe and all this nonsense and craziness. And people now that, they're leaving behind, for their own legacy, photos and videos and pictures and this and that. Nothing wrong with that, but in terms of memory and, I have pictures on my living room table of my family. But those pictures don't give anybody eternal life. Absolutely no one. And so this world needs to come down. It comes down to a choice. They're choosing whom they will serve. They're choosing who they will follow. They have the opportunity. Every day presents an opportunity to make a right choice to follow God, to follow Jesus, to be led by the Holy Spirit, H-O-L-Y, not just holy in terms of W-H, but I'm talking about H-O-L-Y, letting the Holy Spirit teach and let the Word of God reign and be in the hearts. And then, let me keep reading this. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, this is Joshua, this is not just a Father's Day message. This is not just a Father's Day scripture. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That, a head of households, whether you're a man or woman, That's a decision you make for your house. Pastors, shepherds, that's a decision you make for your spiritual house. Whether it's your own body, that's your house, but also your local assembly, that's your house. And you make that decision. I made the decision. My wife has made the decision. I believe the elders and deacons of our church have made the decision. As for us and our house, we are going to serve the Lord. That's a choice. Yes, God drew us. Thank God he drew us. Because if he didn't draw us, Lord, we would still be in our sin. But we also made the choice to follow him, to serve him, to accept him. I read scripture every day that I can't say I understand it, but I made the choice to believe it, to walk in it, and to the best of my ability with God's help, to live it, even if my mental understanding is not there. Now, let me go to Exodus chapter 32, verse 24. They said unto them, whosoever have any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked until their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, he asked a question. This is a question that needs to be asked every single day, 365 days a year. Who is on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? I ask this question. Again, I know the majority of you, if not all of you, members of our church, but there may be someone on the line that has been invited. Who is on the Lord's? Are you on the Lord's side by choice? Or are you on this world's side or the devil's side by choice or just by default? You know, those of us who, I don't claim to be an expert on computers and all that stuff, but there's this word called default. That simply means man by default is born in sin. Meaning, you know, just the fact there's no other way. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I explain it a little better. The fact that once I'm born in this earth, I have a nature by default. Whether it wasn't choice. By default, I'm born in sin. By default, I have the nature of sin. By default, I'm separated from God. But default doesn't last forever because default can't be changed to other things to default it in. By receiving Jesus Christ, I defaulted into salvation because there is no other name by which I can be saved except by the name of Jesus. Confession is made unto salvation. Thank you, God, for that. Appreciate that. So who is on the Lord's side? Now, why am I preaching this? Well, man, we're living in this age. You know what's dominating the news now, especially out there in Portland, Oregon. I mentioned this yesterday after early morning prayer. I'd invite, if you were not on the line yesterday, please avail yourself to that. And right now, this past several weeks, not only are people protesting, they're calling it a protest, and they're burning. In this video of it on YouTube, and I guess other Vimeo and some other places. But not only were they burning American flags, but they were also burning Bibles. Now that really got my attention. I mean, that really, and seeing, I mean, it's just not talking about it, seeing it. And a lot of these things, you know, people are trying to do this under the guise of the banner of BLM, Black Lives Matter. There's this group called Antifa. I don't know everything about them, but I do know something about them. That has infiltrated these so-called protests that are so-called to be protesting the death of African-American men. I'm not trying to get on that because I'm not trying to get into the emotion. I'm trying to get in the word. And they're using that. And so if you look at it, My point has been is this. If you look at it on YouTube or on the internet or Instagram or however, and you see it, and you see a lot of people wearing these Black Lives Matter shirts and things like that, and that they're burning the flags and they're burning the Bibles, and it appears against the optic of that that you know, Black people are doing this or people who are involved in the Black Lives Matter are doing this. Now, I'm not trying to defend Black Lives Matter. I just went on the internet this morning and I read, again, I want to make sure, matter of fact, I printed out some of what they believe. And I'm talking about the group. Now, I'm talking about the precept or the principle. That's why I was saying yesterday, and thank you all. I got some texts from you all, Alfred and Deborah, thank you, that, you know, I saw a shirt on Facebook yesterday that said, eternal life matters. And I said, that's the shirt we should be wearing. Don't get so caught up in this. See, I mean, people get caught up on what, on a human level, on a human plane. But you got to rise up to the eternal. We are eternal beings. And you can stand for something that's right here on a human level, but it doesn't help you in eternity. That's what I'm trying to say about pictures and video and things like that. They don't help you in eternity. Joining a religion, joining a cult is not going to help a person in eternity. We are eternal beings. And that doesn't mean we're super spiritual and we got angels' wings on our back and hell growing over our heads, but we are eternal beings. And our mindset and our focus and our understanding should be on eternal things. So I want to spend this time now discussing with you something I feel is relevant to this day. I have some things that I'm going to read, and it's pertaining to this, and I'm going to say some strong stuff probably. Some of you may even disagree with this. Okay, you can disagree with me and go to heaven. This is concerning, let me get my notes right. The what was on the internet, these videos that I'm seeing. Because activists burned a stack of Bibles in front of the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon Friday night. Watch this. A statue of Jesus was also beheaded recently at a Miami church. A recent faculty survey at Harvard University found that 79-80% consider themselves very liberal or liberal. 19% consider themselves to be moderate. I guess you're dealing with the politics. Consider themselves that they are moderate. Only 2% call themselves conservative or very conservative. Unsurprisingly, 68% of white evangelical Protestants believe Christianity's influence in American life is decreasing. 2/3 say their beliefs are in conflict with the mainstream American culture. We have no enemies, only opponents. Now, I want to give you some understanding, and I want to build something here. Now, I want to be reading a lot. These are notes that I'm reading that I'm getting to. I'm going to a certain point. This comes from the Black Lives Matter website. Black Lives Matter began as a call to action in response to state-sanctioned violence and anti-Black racism. Not trying to stir up emotion. I'm trying to stir up the word. Our intention from the very beginning was to connect Black people from all over the world who have a shared desire for justice to act together in their communities. The impetus of that commitment was and still is the rampant and deliberate violence inflicted on us by the state. Enraged by the death of Trayvon Martin and the subsequent acquittal of his killer, George Zimmerman, and inspired by the 31-day takeover of the Florida State Capitol by Power U and the Dream Defenders, we took to the streets. A year later, we set out together on the Black Lives Matter Freedom Ride to Ferguson in search for justice for Mike Brown and all of those who have been torn apart by the state-sanctioned violence and anti-Black racism. forever changed, we returned home and began building the infrastructure for the Black Lives Matter global network, which even in its infancy has become a political home for many. Ferguson helped to catalyze a movement to which we've all helped give life. Organizers who call this network home have ousted anti-Black politicians, won critical legislation to benefit Black lives, and changed the terms of the debate of Blackness around the world. Through the movement, relationship, and building, we have also helped catalyze other movements and shifted culture with an eye toward the dangerous impact on anti-Blackness. These are the results of our collective efforts. The Black Lives Matter Global Network, that's what I'm talking about, not the precept, not the principle, but the Black Lives Matter Global Network is as powerful as it is because of our membership, our partners and our supporters, our staff and you. Our continued commitment to liberation for all Black people means we are continuing the work of our ancestors and fighting for the collective freedom because of our duty. Every day we recommit to healing ourselves and each other, to co-creating alongside comrades, allies, and family of culture where each person feels seen, heard, and supported. We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences commonalities. We work vigorously for freedom and justice for Black people and extension of all people. Now, I'm gonna skip some of this for the sake of time. I'm going to get into the part I want to play close emphasis on. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and to lead. Now, I read all of that to go to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, just bear with me. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1. Nope, I'm going to Genesis chapter 2. Now, I read all that. Now, if you heard what I just read, one of the baits, those of you who are fishermen and fisherwomen, one of the baits that Satan would use in his lies is to include either some truth or to include something good. Example, Planned Parenthood. I've been reading some of these, even some of the Planned Parenthood groups are finally acknowledging it, that the founder, Margaret Sanger, that the motive for her even founding that devilish organization, the foundation of it was for genocide of minorities. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. The bait that Satan uses many times is to disguise evil with good. Remember, he transformed, the Bible tells us, as an angel of light. He puts on like he's good, but he's evil. And I think we see in the book of Job, I believe my Bible says that when the sons of God came before God, they were referring to angels, not Jesus, not as the sons of God, but that was referring to where the angel means messenger. And these angels came before God, and the Bible says, and Satan was with them. And it appears that the angels did not recognize that he was Lucifer, he was Satan. And God did, and God pointed him out and even asked, "Now, what are you doing here? And what have you been up to?" And Satan said, going to and fro, in the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And so I'm gonna, let me read out Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took man to put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou wilt surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, but I will make for him and help me for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every... I'm going to skip that. Let me move on. That's too much. Let me jump over to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, and here's what I want to get to, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and true to be desired, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, what's my point? The tree was the knowledge of good and evil. It would give understanding, revelation, illumination of what is good and what is evil. Understand, this is not an indictment on the woman. It's just the fall happened with Adam and Eve, not just Eve. Okay? Now, stay with me. Now, what she saw, or you can put it this way, what she focused on, what got her attention, was what she thought was good. That's my point I'm trying to make. When these things come into the world like Planned Parenthood, like the, not again, not the precept of Black Lives Matter, but the establishment of a part of the group called Black Lives Matter, it sounds on the surface that, well, what we're trying to do is something good. But even in trying to do something good, it can still bring forth evil, which is what I'm saying. How are you going to burn Bibles? And then, you know, we I know here in Richmond, and pulling down statues of Confederate, well, you have people that using that as a method, as a guide to put in a statue of Jesus. Matter of fact, I got to make sure I say this right. I need to go on the internet. Some of y'all probably know this. I think Michael Jackson's daughter, there's a movie coming out. I can't remember the name of it. I heard it on Christian radio yesterday. There's some movie coming out that she, try to figure this one out, y'all. She's going to play the part of Jesus in this movie, and it deals with being transgender. Now, I hope there's some righteous anger in you. Pulling down statues of Jesus, you know, Jesus is being presented transgender. My goodness. So, again, let me get back to my point. So, the devil will present something, and he'll show. Let me use Planned Parenthood as an example. I had a discussion with someone, I won't say who it was, and we were talking about Planned Parenthood, and I was trying to say to this particular person, you know, the evils of this business, and notice what I just said, of this business, because that's what it is. This thing is a business. My time is zipping by. Goodness. It is a business. It's a money maker. And so I was trying to explain to he or she the evils of this organization, this business. And they began to tell me, well, look, you know, they do good things. They give, I think, some free health screenings to women, you know, concerning women's issues and things like that. And they do, you know, people who may have unwanted pregnancies and, you know, may have been, you know, badly raped or something like that. And they provide a service. And I said to this particular person, I said, so because they may provide free, I don't know if it's free or not, but some of y'all may know, but free or just health screenings, period, to people that maybe can't afford it, maybe people that's in the inner cities, maybe people in minorities, you know, African-American, Hispanics, and so forth, and people may be low income, they provide a free service to them, that, well, isn't that a good, you know, they're saying, isn't that a good thing? I said, well, on the surface it is, but you got to, but John the Baptist said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. You got to examine the motive. God looks at the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He judges our motives. He tries the reins. He looks at our motive. What's driving us? And but you got to go back to the what's the foundation of it? What's below the surface? What's, you know, like an iceberg? You know what that thing they say? 1/3 of iceberg you can see above water, but 2/3 of it is underwater. You can't even see it. And that's the thing that sinks ships. It's not the iceberg that's sticking out the water, or the part of the iceberg that sticks that was sticking out of the water that sank the Titanic. It was the portion of the iceberg that was under the water, below the surface of the water, that could not be seen with the naked eye, and that's what sank the ship. And so I was trying to use that as an analogy with her and you all, or her or him, with you all, and trying to say that, yes, on the surface, it may appear that they're doing something good, something beneficial, but that's above the surface. But under the surface, their deeds, according to Scripture, I'm going to use the words of the Scripture, their deeds are evil. Genocide. The same thing that Hitler wanted to do with the Jews. Genocide. Wanted to take out, wipe out an entire race of people based on one thing: they're different. Not better, not worse, but they're different. And that's evil. And just like the devil, the serpent, said, the woman said, Eve saw that the tree was good to look at. The tree was good. And in other words, you could put it this way. She saw the good side and acted on it. Not investigating, not making the choice based on both the good and the evil. And because of that, she fell, he fell, her husband. And that, guess what? By default, we're all fallen. So that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, when I look at these protests and this burning of the flag and this burning of Bibles, and that's why I think I said this last Sunday. I mean, you know, they think, no, tearing down stuff is going to change people's hearts. But, God is about changing people's hearts. And we as Christians, we need to let me back up. I got a note I wrote myself, this, and I want to make sure I said this Sunday. God put this on my heart. Matter of fact, my goodness, I have so many notes here. Y'all, pardon me if I take my time, but I'm gonna take my time. I wrote down so many notes here that I want to read this scripture. All right, hold on. Bear with me. Just stay with me. Oh, here it is. Got it. All right. Hold on. Okay. I wrote these notes to me. See, the Bible says a person, a mankind swears to his own hurt. By our words are we justified. By our words, and I'm going to add this just for the sake of discussion. I'm not adding to the Bible, just for the sake of discussion. By our words, we swear to our own hurt. By our words and our deeds, we speak judgment to ourselves. Now, here's the revelation I believe I got from the Lord. When these people are burning these Bibles, they don't understand. Just like Jesus said, when you go into a city and they don't receive you, you shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They are swearing to their own demise. They're speaking and doing something that brings a curse on them. You know what the fruit of this is? They're speaking the lake of fire over themselves. They're trying to burn a Bible, not understanding that they're condemning themselves to burn. I know they don't understand that. They don't like that. I know those that are entrenched in it don't want to hear that. But I'm saying to go out here and pull in a statue of Jesus, burn a Bible, burning Bibles, not a Bible, Bibles, plural. In other words, putting them in a stack and just burning them. That they don't understand. That those are words and deeds that swearing to their own hurt. By their words are they justified. By their words are they condemned. Their actions are bringing a curse. Because the Bible says the curse caused less shall not come. They are bringing a curse on themselves. It's called the Lake of Gehenna. The lake of fire. We don't preach on it. We don't hear it enough. The end times, the end days. But see, this thing of sowing and reaping, that's a big time principle. I mean, that's a huge principle in the scripture that people, because of their words and their actions, thinking that they're hurting God, they're not hurting God. Thinking that they're doing something to harm the kingdom of God, and they're bringing damnation to themselves, their actions. They're going to reap what they sown. There is a solution. There is an answer. There is a way out. His name is Jesus. It is not Black Lives Matter that's going to save you. It's not going to happen. You may not hear too many people saying, if anyone's on this line or hear this and don't know who I am, I'm an African-American black preacher. And you're not going to hear too many. Yeah, there are some. But you're not going to hear too many black people saying this. Black Lives Matter is not going to save you. I'm talking about the organization. Salvation is not in that. No. Eternal life matters. Eternal life matters. I'm going to say it a third time. I want to hit home with this. Eternal life matters. And only thing that can save us, the human race, not a particular culture, not a particular race of people, not a particular this, not a particular that, but the entire human race is summed up in a five-letter word. His name is J-E-S-U-S. It's not W-W-J-D. I'm not talking about a fad. I'm not talking about something that people put on belts and clothes to sell to people, because it became a fad, a big deal to say WWJD. I heard entertainers and sports people say WWJD. I even hear them now saying, I can hear them saying, I know where they're getting it. You can hear them saying that even in terms of that money in the contract. And they say, oh, well, I'm speaking it into existence. I said, I know what you're getting at. You're listening to somebody preaching the power of positive thinking, or the power of, like that's in the power of the tongue. You're hearing somebody espouse Christian or Bible principles, and you're trying to make it to just apply to everything in your life without even being born again. I'm talking about this deliverance from evil starts with a man named Jesus. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about you going to church. I'm not talking about you getting involved in church. I know we see, you know, we see some movies sometimes. I call them so-called Christian movies. They're Christian movies, and there's some so-called Christian movies. And the whole emphasis is on somebody, you know, getting involved in church, and well, you need to be, you need to go work, you know, sing in the choir, clean the church, No, that's not salvation. No, we got to push. We got to make salvation is the answer. Now, God can use a church to bring a person, to show them the way, to give them an avenue so that they can hear the good news. But the reality is somebody just getting involved in church is not going to save their soul. It's not enough. And I got to keep saying this. It is not enough to tell people to go to church. It is not. Thank God if you're on you're on the prayer line yesterday. I thank God that you're on a church service this line this morning. But this is not enough. If this is a duty, well, I've done what I'm supposed to do, God, I'm okay now. I know you're not okay. If Jesus Christ has never come to your heart, if you never invited him in, he's already joined you. But if you never invited him in, hearing my word, being related to me, having a relationship with me or someone in our church, that's not enough for salvation to take place. And don't get caught up in a movement without investigating it. Learn everything that you can learn. On the surface, it might sound like it's the best thing since buttered popcorn, sliced bread, it's the best thing since cushioned pews and air conditioning. I mean, it may sound like the best thing you ever heard, but you still have to go back to its foundation. What was this thing built on? That's what I wanted to do. I want to go back. Okay, I want to see. I'm not saying I claim I know everything about it, but I know something about it. My people are destroyed, God said. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now, that's amazing scripture, and especially in the internet age we live in. Goodness. I mean, information is all over the place. I mean, what can't you find information about? I mean, you just go on your tablet or your computer or your phone and think about it. Even the means by which you can get information. I mean, that was a time 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, maybe you had to get home to get on your computer, but now you got a tablet. Then you got a telephone. Forget the tablet. You got a telephone. I mean, in your back pocket, that internet access, and you can see news as it happens. Not like back in the day where you had channel 6, 8, and 12, three channels, and look at the 6 o'clock news. If you missed the 6 o'clock news, you didn't know what else was on the news till around 11 o'clock if you could stay up. So we live in this information age, this information time, and yet people are ever learning, but they're not coming to the knowledge of the truth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, ever learning, destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is not an issue of a lack of learning. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Ever learning, meaning the abundance of information is there, but they're still not coming to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is Jesus is the way. Jesus is like, well, you sound like one of those fuddy-duddy religious nutcases, Reverend. I don't want to hear that. Well, no, your flesh doesn't want to hear it. I know that. The old man, the one who is lost, does not want to hear it because it's resisting the truth. But again, it goes back to what the Lord gave me yesterday. It is not what people understand. It's what is. Let me slow down. It's not what people understand or don't understand. It's who they reject or accept. We as believers, we got to hold people's feet to the fire. Well, I don't go to church. I don't read my Bible because I don't understand the Bible. No, the issue is not whether you understand your Bible or not. The issue is that you've rejected the Bible. to put a stack of Bibles on a sidewalk and light it on fire, that's rejection. That ain't lack of understanding. That's a rejection. I'm trying to hammer this home. My time, as a matter of fact, I got to close. Look, I'm going to try to continue this next week. I'm not done. This has agitated me. It's amazing to me how people, I got a Bible right here in front of me, can take this Bible and burn it. And that, because I said this yesterday after everyone in prayer. You didn't see them taking no Qurans and burning it. See, they know what would happen. They did that. They know certain religions. If they took their, what they call their holy books, and if they were to burn those books, they know what would happen. But see, with Christianity, because we are peaceful, we are loving. We love Jesus. God loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. Jesus is why he gave his only begotten son. But God so loved the world. You're not born again. Jesus, God loves you. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you, not just us. He sent Jesus to die for you, whatever your name is. One of the best things I think you can do in your life is to acknowledge Jesus died for me and say your name. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. What comes out of your mouth? I ain't talking about believing God for a house and a boat and a this and a that, new job, more money, and all this crazy. I'm talking about out of your mouth, you confess the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Will you pray this with me? Father, it is in Jesus' name. I invite you into my life. You already died for me. You already risen. You already seated at the right hand of the Father for me. And say your name for me. Marvin Mason. You died for Marvin Mason. You died for me. I receive into my life. I repent of anything not pleasing. You say, help me to live this Christian life. I'm depending on you to give me strength and my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, you are strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace, mercy. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.